Grab a seat at the bar to join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Hosts Tanzin Jess and Maggie bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and diehard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.
Welcome to the McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 18.15, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, where we are covering the novel White Knight. My name is Tanzin, and I am joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
Jess.
Subterfuge.
And Rory.
Get me out of here.
A formal word that refers to the use of tricks to hide, avoid, or get something.
Like a cat
in their bed.
And like the white court sleeping. We talked about all last chapter.
Actually, your tail is much less poofy now. Chapter 29. Harry and Helen talk alone together. She agrees to a soul gaze with Harry when she realizes that Anna was killed. It is enough for Harry to believe she didn't set up the Ordo and realizes Priscilla is the culprit. Marcone is very entertained that Harry is stumped by the arrival
again,
of Helen.
Such a little cutie moment, because Marcone is so far above this. He always gets after Harry for being childish and immature, and he just sits here going, and Helen is, you know, it's not polite. And he's like, oh, but if you knew, if you knew how good this was.
Well, and it's just bonkers because...
Didn't see that coming.
Was her getting revenge.
I hate Marcone. Down with Marcone. Death to Marcone. Ruin his business. Ruin him.
Very strange.
Decision, Paul. Yeah. I mean, pretty much here. Close my eyes, chasing furiously down dozens of twisty lanes of demented logic. Pretty much. How did we get here? How is this?
Okay. I wrote down, Harry's hamster wheel begins a furious spin.
It is smoking uncontrollably.
And we get a review of all of the facts.
Which is interesting, and it's just funny, because Tanzin's brain went one way with this.
I almost named this episode, The Facts of Life.
And it's funny because literally, as I was driving down her street, I was going over how he talks about when we get there, how Ramirez says his soul gazes, he often gets them as a kind of like a theme song for that person sort of a thing. And it totally made me think of like the 80s and 90s, especially like sitcom things, you know, with all the lyrics and whatever. And then literally as I'm driving down her street, I've got The Facts of Life playing in my head. I walk in and what does Tanzin have up on her computer screen? The Facts of Life.
Yeah, The Facts of Life theme. I was getting it ready at the same time you were thinking about it.
That is, yeah. A little test, I don't know. And then she pointed out that may be because of the facts and this, that's
fact
why she thought of it.
Too.
I was like, oh, maybe that was that slightly subliminal messaging in my brain too, why I also, but I'm like, it did also fit with the whole like theme song. That's the type of theme songs I was thinking. It was crazy that was literally when I settled on it. I was thinking, man, the facts, man, just the facts.
You were so funny about it. Holy shit.
This is what I was just privately by myself in my car on my own. But yes, I was just, it was a funny little Twilight Zone moment of, and then yeah, it makes slightly sense why. I don't know if anybody's watched that, like, Magic for Humans, I think is what he's called.
Forgot. It's like the Netflix show.
Where he does all these... I feel really bad that I've forgotten his name. Jason, sorry, bud.
Timberlake.
Yeah.
Dumorin.
Yeah. But anyways, where he does one of his little episodes is about that. And it's kind of funny. It's like, oh, you see it all broken down. Like, it kind of makes sense how it all.
How you can influence people to
how you can influence people to think things. But yeah, it's still funny. I was like, whoa. Anywho.
It is a little bit cute, too. Furthermore, like, oh my gosh, Marcone, you're such a big, strong protector. Because Harry's like, yeah, I got to talk to you by yourself, Stat. And Marcone's like, you do not have to. He is
you
not
don't
the boss
have to
of
consent
you.
To this.
I'm boss
I'm
of you.
Boss of you.
You know how I feel about you messing with my employers and my property. And I mean, they're not the same thing, but.
Hard line, though. This is a hard line for real.
Yeah, it is kind of. I get so you sort of touched on this in the last.
I just had visions of like, because Murphy leaves too, like all three of the, like Murphy, Hendrickson, and Marcone leave. And
they're outside the
outside
door.
Having a smoke.
Sipping yeah.
Well, what do you think that is all so about?
What's been new with you?
I was going to say, yeah, Murphy just like whistling, like kicking up on her toes, like, la la la. I got to take a call.
I got to.
Which I guess she does, because she does call Thomas. She's like,
she
gotta fucking go.
Of course she does. Yeah, I kind of spoiled it last episode. So sorry for all the people who haven't read this novel and are going at it one episode by one episode. But Helen and Jesse were friends, and they lived near each other, and she used to drive her home.
But this is...
Now you know.
Right? So again, just how stupid, half-assed, whatever his problem is. Like, on a very basic level... I get it makes sense that he sees her with and is like, oh, I'm just going to assume that it's part of this part of her life, not part of that part of her life, right? And again, it's just very, very sloppy on Madrigal's part and stuff like that. But it's...
Well, you're a vampire, though. You don't really have to be good at it, right?
Well,
like, being sloppy is part of it. You know, someone like Marcone, he's got to make sure he has all the facts before he acts.
I mean, I guess
yeah,
one way or another.
A vampire doesn't matter. Kill whoever the fuck you want. What does it matter?
Yeah, in some ways, it almost worked better because that anomaly...
Throws him off.
Made...
Threw him off a case.
Yeah, Dresden
and,
even more like...
And implicated Helen.
And... But the thing is here, it's like she can't... I don't know. I mean, I don't have... a lot invested in Helen Warren. You know, I mean, like, Marcone is the undisputed bad guy, but we also undisputedly love and adore his role and how... I know he's a bad guy, but I like my interactions.
He's good
with,
at it.
He's written well. He does... He's not just... he is not just violent and whatever gratuitous. I mean,
he's got his own rules and code.
He's got his own rules and code and stuff like that, right?
Got swagger.
Yeah, he's not just a douchebag. Whereas Helen, you know what I mean? I'm like, obviously painted as a bad guy. Didn't think a lot of her in the first book. We didn't know much about her and she was doing bad things that were messing up Harry's life. And then she like shot him and all that kind of stuff.
Well, and it doesn't help that she doesn't really actually defend herself at all.
I mean, she's just like,
whatever. I'm an ass.
And she very much in this next moment here, exactly. She's like, I'm a borderline sociopath guy, functioning borderline sociopath guy, everything, right? She doesn't make excuses for herself and all of that, right? But again, she's not written so dislike, especially in this book when she's got, you know, people like Abby kind of being like, hey, Helen's not so bad. She's had a tough life. She's trying to just be, she might not be a good person, but she's trying not to be, you know. So you're kind of like, yeah, Helen's like, okay. Like she's had this hard life dealt to her. And it's just kind of sad because you're like, this tiny bit of kindness. She's not even that invested. And she's not like, oh, I took her under my wing. And this, you know, she's just like, I did a basic human kindness. We lived close by. I was like, sure, I can drive you to work. And just that association gets this girl killed.
Yep.
So somebody's, because again, you know, if she annoyed her in any way, Helen would be like, I'm not giving you a ride to work. Like, right, she doesn't have, again, that basic empathy to just be like, if there was anything she didn't like about this girl, she's not...
I mean, Helen says that about herself, but she, like, I don't think it's true entirely. I think she's just, like, is more trying to be closed off rather than just doesn't have it. Because why would you be seeking out the Order for any kind of connection at all if you just couldn't feel that connection? Then you'd be happy. Like, the Shadow Man was, like, because you want revenge, but the Order was because you want community. Like,
yeah.
I think she's definitely damaged, but and sort
I think
of,
she's angry.
She's sort of written the script for herself that doesn't necessarily fit, but
yeah, exactly. I just don't think she's as bad as she's like describing herself.
Maybe not. And again, I don't know obviously enough about the psychology of it or whatever. But
yeah, if you're turning to orgies for black magic, clearly there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
But
in this context, right, I would say I do understand her being damaged enough that, again, I think that's where the borderline comes in. That I think she's correct when she says she has very little empathy for her fellow mankind or whatever, you know. I think that's true. I don't think she can summon, but once upon a time, she was not that person. And yes, even there, she still has a small capacity. Well, I mean, like you say, we always say that's the human condition. That's the problem with us, right? We get pissed off. We hate each other. We're violent, destructive, warmongering people, but we're community people. We always seek out and want to be around others. However, I mean, again, same thing. A million times a day, I can be like, I fucking hate the world. I hate everybody in it. I hate dealing with people. Everybody lets you down. Nothing goes the way you want. And yet, if I am by myself too long, I push that too excessively and have no contact, I do start feeling lonely and upset. I do want to interact with people. And then I, again, I'm greatly disappointed usually, but, you know, but yeah.
Even still wanting that connection, even recognizing that you are worse person when you are isolated so that you're forcing yourself to have that community is still, I think, some sort of branch of the empathy or whatever, because it's like otherwise people just don't need that.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. That's what I mean where she's like the functioning borderline.
Yeah, well,
she's not a full.
I think it is a little bit more just
maybe she is
more
just,
you know, critical of herself than is entirely true,
and that could be as well. But yeah,
Elaine, worst person on earth. Helen, I don't think she's like that.
I have some sympathy for the person that has no sympathy for anybody.
I think she's cool. I forgive her for all her crimes. Elaine, go fuck yourself. Yeah, she did her time.
I actually don't think Helen is clinical. I think that's her own assessment of herself because she has cut herself off from trying to feel because of her trauma.
Yeah. Like I say, I think that definitely did.
Inherently, she does have empathy because she does do
my kid's dead
for the Oreo.
My husband's dead. I'm about to find out my best friend's dead. Kill me now. I'm working for my enemy because I can't get a job anywhere else. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Like,
right? Except she's cutting out the middle part. And it's just now my enemy is my friend because it's not the enemy of my enemy.
But it's
anymore.
So weird that Marcone would hire her too. Like, just because he feels that he owes her this, he owes her a job, or he wants to keep his enemies close. Or
I think he has a certain amount of guilt, and he's trying to make amends in a way he can because
keep track of her some way somehow. But
I was gonna say there's a lot of layers in here that because you're right, it doesn't. And on the one hand, you can be like, well, maybe Marcone doesn't realize, but then that negates everything we just
said. The entirety of book one is Marcone finding out that Helen Beckett's trying to kill him because of, like, the Tommy Tom is murdered because she's trying to take a hit out on Marcone, essentially.
Okay.
Like,
but she wasn't the most, she was.
No, I understand that, but she was involved herself in that for that.
But I was going to say, the whole last episode, we were talking about how well Marcone and Harry know each other and how smart Marcone is and how he doesn't do it. So exactly, it makes no sense to be like, he wouldn't have figured out who this person was and what her involvement was.
He knows it all.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he does know. And we've already seen him try to correct some of his mistakes because of the girl that was in the hospital where he took the shroud.
When it comes down to it,
for being a mobster, he tries to do the right thing.
Talking about
enough.
It feels like a spoiler, despite the fact that we've actually seen him go and arrive. And Harry himself has followed him and knows about that, and yet seems to not make the connection.
Not yet. No, I'm glad that you went there because I was going to bring that up. Once we get into that and do that scene, I was going to ask you if you
remembered.
Right,
could forget?
Don't take this the wrong way. Tanzan. But yes, even her explanation for this, it's all very sad. She, you know, semi-befriends this girl, and then that just gets her killed. So that's one more thing, too. But even that, just again, when he starts talking then about the whole thing, and even, like, her explanation of, I get it, I don't, they're, you know, kiss and kill and love and hate.
I didn't like that intro, but, like, it would have made more sense if she just left that part out and been like, I had no choice.
I have my reason, whatever.
Like, yeah. I'm a felon. I didn't have a lot of options, and this is where I ended up. Yeah.
Yeah, which is a more fair approximation. He owes me.
Well.
Is a more fair approximation. Like, least he can do is give me a job.
Yeah.
But wanting to be that close to him is still suspicious, too. Like, I don't know, give me a job, you know, where I don't have to see your face every day, but clearly what's working for them, it's not a business.
Well, and again, I think this, again, comes down to her whole, you know, sociopathic kind of whatever at this point, right? She's just like, it doesn't necessarily make sense. I'm not going to explain
it to
somebody
else. My family's dead.
Yeah, right? Like, everything else, this is, and again,
Stockholm
syndrome
books,
something,
whatever.
Right? This is the one constant. Like, again,
I'll be your Bianca. Who cares?
I'm pretty sure she's just clinically depressed, is what she is.
Yeah, that's
all of the. Yeah,
that's for sure.
She absolutely does. And then I find it interesting because she picks up on this right away and he's like, well, we need to talk. And she's like, you're not going to believe, like, again,
oh my God,
the same
this again,
problem.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time I say it.
You know, I've been in every episode of this podcast, something neither the two of you can say. And I really actually wanted to skip this one. I don't like this chapter. I don't like this flashback. I don't like.
It's pretty brutal.
I kind of just wanted to skip over when I was re-listening again. I was like, I don't need to hear it again. Like,
I don't like it for what it, yeah, like the trauma value of it. No, I don't like this. Yeah. It is very...
What bothers me about this whole thing is that, it is good development for Helen to give like an actual...
Explanation.
Yeah,
it humanizes her, definitely.
Yeah, why
However,
the fuck is she?
It makes Harry look like a fucking moron to me because it's like... What did witnessing her past have to do with believing her?
He was like, I've always known these facts, but seeing was a totally different thing. I'm like, go fuck yourself. Like, really? You had to witness it really to get it?
I can tell when people are lying, but you keep insisting that she isn't. Or like that she, yeah. So
I was going to say, yeah.
Why is seeing her past suddenly going to change whether or not she's telling the truth?
And I understand that to a, like, again, that's his whole bit for explaining how everybody, you know, the theme songs.
Well, he goes so into it. Yeah, it's so metaphorical for me. Like, I never know what I'm going to see. And in this case, it's like a straight up memory, which obviously people's memories can be wrong, but assuming that this is more or less the true event.
Well, especially because he kind of sees it again as third party. He's not even seeing it directly out of Helen's eyes.
That's true. But he gets this as sort of like this running track. This is the only thing playing in Helen's mind and fueling her, and he's thinking about it constantly. It's like, yeah, I'd be fucked up too. But also, Harry, like, this isn't news to you. Like, you did know, like, honestly, every single fact of this.
Basically, yeah.
Like, the only thing that it does is sort of, like, maybe open up his eyes that he is being... subconsciously
partaking more.
To me, this is more just benefit of Helen being like, oh, he always falls for like the poor woman act. Like, let me show him my worst trauma. Not that she can control it, but that's more of how it plays out.
Yeah.
Oh, because I'm just like, oh, Harry got no respect for this woman until she's a sad woman, and then he's like, oh yeah, right, you're a woman. I forgot you have breasts.
Right.
I'll do anything
you
for you.
But I, that's what I was gonna say is that not so much that the specifics of why did it, because you're right, he knew that. But again, it's whatever that intuition that, because you're right, he does say a lot to him, like, I can tell if you're lying. And I know, and I just have to be sure, and that's it. So it's like, yeah, he may not have learned any more factual information, but
just,
I guess,
like, I don't know, I guess the confirmation that it's still the only thing she thinks about is like, oh yeah, she isn't capable of evil anymore. But like, that's the thing that turned her to, because like, the thing that I wonder about Helen is like, did she know that she had any sort of magical ability before the murder? Because as far as our history of Helen goes, is that she wasn't doing black magic
until
pre-murder of her child, and then her husband both got into it with the Shadow Man because it was like their best way at revenge.
It still took like whatever it was, 10-15 years, because this didn't happen 5 minutes after this scene.
Well, I think it did happen. Well, like, I think like Stormfront happened somewhat within like a year or two of the kid's death, didn't it?
No, I'm gonna say no, because of how he describes. He's younger, he's slimmer, his hair shape. He's not the head.
Marcone was Marcone the boss. Is like maybe 10 or 20 years younger, yeah.
Yeah, Marcone is the boss when we meet him in Stormfront. He was still enough, and this is him taking over. Yeah. So it's, yeah, I'm giving it like a 10 to 50. I don't know if 20 might be, but yeah. That's why I'm saying like minimum. And also because of how old the girl, right? He says
so minus 8-ish years for the book, so another 8 years before Stormfront. So when Harry was 16-ish, girl got murdered?
Yeah, like, so that's why I'm saying, so yeah. So
she probably, like, did have her light talent, but just didn't focus on it until that happened. Then she's like,
well, that's the only thing. I don't know exactly that she had any talent or that her husband had any talent, but that's, like, what pushed them to get involved in the...
Yeah, because even Monica didn't really have... They were just, right, I look at it a lot as, let's go back to Deadbeat with Butters. Butters has no magical talent whatsoever. Doesn't, like, he's having a hard time even acknowledging.
Also, just
Harry's
being aware
like,
of it enough.
If you believe...
Was like, okay,
you can make
okay,
a
certain,
yeah, right?
Touche. So Helen had nothing until she was made aware of it, and then she could do something with the limited whatever.
Harry is like, you can learn a certain, right? Yeah,
yes,
Butters
is
never going to get to that level. So there's people that have big magic, like Harry. There's people that have tiny moderate, like the Abbeys and the Annas and the Lydias that have, you know, the Kim Delaney's. Mm-hmm. And then there's like the Butters and the Helens that have none to speak of, but they can learn if they have the tools, if they have the things.
Because it doesn't even really say that she has some sort of gift.
Because this is what Harry says. He's like, oh, so her talent can't be so much that she can use a cell phone. So, but that's why I'm wondering. It's like it doesn't say that she's in the community.
Right? Some people are great innate chefs. They just put into... What?
You're using the same
one that she hates. Do you genuinely not remember this argument?
I was going to say, remember we talked about like cooking
recipes
before?
Oh, I remember.
No, apparently.
With any goddamn skills, I will beat you. Anyways.
But like, because one of them can see briefly into the future.
Abby,
yes.
Yes, Abby, and that's why she's so scattered brain.
But it never actually does say anything about Helen, like what if she has something that she can do. Like, you know, I can light a candle, poof.
Yeah, so I would say more that her...
I can have sex magic, woo!
Yeah, that she may...
We can all have sex magic if we just try to.
On how you view it and believe it. I feel like, yes, her becoming more... Is now that she's been exposed to this world, like, yeah, what is she going to do? Pal around with
That's the thing. Once you're exposed, there's no way you're walking away from that. Like, oh my gosh, it's amazing. Who walks away from their talent, Charity?
Well, but not even like that, but just meaning like nobody's gonna, like, what is she gonna do? Hang out with the other ex-cons from and be like, oh yeah, so I was in like this magical ring.
Well, no, yeah, okay, to be fair, that's what she's doing working with Marcone, but yes.
But Marcone knows that that's all I'm saying. Your average,
yes.
You know, gang, whatever the fuck she ended up in, that's all I'm saying.
No offense, in her position, it's exactly what she would have done. That's what a parole officer would recommend. Walk away from the bad people who got you in this mess, which is the magical community. And she's like, no, I can't connect with the non-magical community. I'm gonna go hook up with them all again right now.
To be fair, again, she's not hooking up with the black magic community.
She's working for the biggest felon in Chicago right now, but yes.
Nah, it doesn't really say it one way or the other. Like, it's purely speculation whether or not she does
I've always assumed it's more like that, not that she necessarily had anything in her.
My only point is that, yes, Harry comes out of this as a bad guy.
Yeah, he doesn't, like, yeah.
Kind of sucks.
Well, and again, because she makes, that's the one thing about Helen is she, again, is very straightforward. She is very partial. She makes a lot of sense. And, like, I can tell you until I'm blue in the face, and you obviously are not going to believe me.
But that's the thing is, like, yeah, like, I get, like, he obviously refuses to believe it until he sees the soul gaze, which is, I guess, why it's necessary, because Harry just will not take her word until he sees it, which for whatever reason is enough counterpoint to finally make him move on and pick a new target. But yeah, it takes all of this. He's like, fact 1 through 12, it's Helen. And then he sees the soul gaze and he's like,
oh,
fucking Priscilla, duh, obviously, stupid moron.
I felt so stupid because I was like, what do the turtlenecks have to do with anything? I don't, what? Because she's cold? And then I like slept on it and then I woke up and went, oh, Adam's apple. Oh.
It's the fact that you...
Okay.
It's the fact that you don't sleep on it, Tanson, is why it took you longer to...
I forget that Adam's apples are, like, a prominent male-only thing, though.
I don't have one, I'm like, why would I
think about it? They're not in my brain. I don't ever think about them. I don't like knowing they exist.
And the drag queens that I watch on television don't care about that part. They, you know.
When I think of male anatomy, though, I'm not immediately like, Adam's apple, done.
Yeah. She's just like, so Jessica would be screwed. Jessica, you're going to be suspected of being the villain in every...
You know what's funny? It's because, like, part of working in my job is, like, to look for suspicious behavior, and the wrong clothing type for the wrong weather is, like, a huge red flag.
Right, yeah, giant baggy parka in the middle of summer so you can stuff your pockets full of candy bars.
Exactly, things like that, right? And I'm always like, yeah, I'm getting arrested everywhere I go. I always walk into every establishment with 14 coats on.
She doesn't need, like, a med bracelet for, like, oh, I'm allergic or I can't have blood transfusion. She just needs one to prove that she... No, look, I have no blood. This is why.
Please. This is my regulated space heater. It has to come with me everywhere I go.
So... I haven't read too far on, and this presuming that we don't talk about review some of this stuff, that if we go back to the last chapter or the last couple chapters where Priscilla is describing the events of what happened. So Priscilla would have, they dropped Abby off, and that's when Priscilla would have done.
So they're all together.
Done the deed.
And Helen leaves.
They didn't actually go for...
Right. And then Helen supposedly calls Priscilla and says, I'm being followed. You guys need to go to a new location. And they're like, okay, bet. And then Abby's like, I'm going to sit with the dogs. You go get dialysis, whatever
insulin.
The fuck it's called.
Insulin.
And then
that's when, like,
Helen calls again, supposedly, and is like, whatever. She calls again to say she's being followed, so they all go to a new location. Don't know why that call was necessary, but it was. Then they're at a new location. And then Helen calls again. Now we're at the new location. We'll go get Helen. You stay here. They could have just done all that once. But anyways, point is that then they leave again. This time they don't take Abby with them. Then Priscilla and...
But that's the point where it would have been...
And Anna supposedly go to get Helen. But what really happens is they go, for some reason, back to Anna's apartment. Don't know why Anna agreed to that. Priscilla obviously said some sort of lie to get her to go back to her hotel room or some shit like that.
Yeah, they were at the hotel. They weren't...
Well, whatever. But the point is that Priscilla's like, we went to go get Helen, but they didn't. They went to the hotel.
Yeah. Yes.
So she lied to Anna to get her to go to the hotel instead of... whatever.
Yeah. Which at that point, I think once you understand, because we already know already that the White Courts have influence.
Yeah.
She might
in
not
her
have
head,
had
yeah, maybe, yeah.
anything to, yeah, she might yeah. not have. But yes, the whole point is that all of a sudden Priscilla is the one getting all of these. So yeah, so I think, I mean, it could just be a little bit laying in the trail. Like I say, in one way, they don't really need to. But again, it could be just, right, oh, we all moved and then that was fine. And then we all did this and that was fine. And then all, right, you know what yeah, I mean? Whereas she just like suddenly left with Anna and Anna turns up dead. That
maybe,
points it
yeah,
more specifically, but- right? So yeah, they get, so again, it's more just start breaking up, moving it like, okay, we were left here where we're all safe and together. Let's move that. Now let's change this. Now let's go. So yeah, she keeps making right. Okay, you stay with the dogs. We'll go get her. We'll go do this more and more and more to just bit by bit break them up
you
and separate
mouse,
them.
You suck
and,
at your job.
This is
just
the,
can't tell a vampire when you're next to one. Like you growled at Molly and all she was doing.
This is, I love you, Mouse. I absolutely love you to death. But this is exactly one of those teeny tiny because lots, like again, growled at Molly when
and just,
Molly
just
was
because
not
proven guilty and...
The other dog was a distraction.
Well, yeah, but just oh, shoot. What was the book before Proven Guilty?
Deadbeat.
There was...
He goes to meet Mavra and already he's like the super hyper aware. Like that's why he's got
I know, but
him.
There was like something like he like, I don't know, like he left the dog with Murphy or something in the cop hall or like... I don't remember what he did, but he just, like, he took Mouse home or he gave the dog to someone. He didn't take Mouse with him anymore.
Yeah, and they were all like, oh, that's why he didn't know he was running around with a bad guy because Mouse wasn't there,
yeah,
too.
And it was like, oh, so convenient. Mouse had to go be at this other place, right? And then in Proven Guilty, same thing. Every time Harry was going to, like, open up his sight, Molly wasn't in the room. Or every time Harry was going to, like, shake Molly's hands, his hands were full, so he couldn't shake her hand. Mouse was growling at her, but this is our friend, so what are you doing? Like, you know, like, it was a very convenient, but Jim Butcher did lay the groundwork. But in this case, it's like... Well, Mouse has been there the whole time, and you're, like, just forgetting that your dog has abilities?
Well, but even this, even if you go back to Proven Guilty, when they meet Darby Crane, and he's like, oh, Murphy, let me shake your hand, and Harry's, like, from across the room, is like, don't, I don't know, I just got bad vibes.
Harry's just,
but I'm like,
he's just fucking can't handle even pretend woman. Like,
does Mouse respond to Darby Crane?
Mouse wasn't there.
The
first time Mouse meets him is like
getting run over in the van.
Yeah.
And okay. And then
at which point
he's not friends with her.
I thought he was at the hotel with him at some point because we were like,
he like
he's
left
got
in
a
the
dog
room
in
or
hotel?
Some shit.
Okay. He did. I think he.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
I think the very first time he went to the hotel where he met Darby Crane, it was after he had gone to pick up the kids from the station and he didn't bring Mouse with him. Which he did bring Mouse with him because that's how Mouse growled at Molly at the police station.
Or maybe he's Thomas being a white vampire that he's like, oh, this is a family member.
He doesn't. Maybe. When he first goes to the hotel with Mouse, it's he's gone to pick up Darby, right? So,
yeah.
So,
yeah, whatever. He went back home like eight times in that novel.
What the fuck is his name?
Magical?
Nathan? No, the boyfriend. Darian.
Rosie and.
Nate? Nathan?
No.
Nathaniel? Norbert?
Fuck that.
It's going to drive me crazy for a minute here. Nelson!
Yes.
I'm like, I had to. I was like, what did I write for the thing? Yes, Nelson. Rosie and Nelson. So, yeah, so it's not until like the day or two later when Harry's back at the hotel. And again, he either hasn't brought her. That's when he's got the room and he left like Mouse up in the room while he went in. So, yes, Mouse was not in the direct press. So, yeah, he does go to the hotel with Mouse, but he doesn't meet Darby until sometime later. Anyways, point being is some of his spidey senses went off then, but they don't go all... He has now spent way more time around Priscilla than he did around Darby Crane, and he's had no tingle on the spidey
sense.
He spent
all day with them and was like, yeah, go off on your own. It's fine.
And again, I'm going to leave the dog. I'm going to leave the dog because the dog picks up on his spidey senses even more sensitive than my spidey sense. And exactly.
Priscilla was like, this is the dumbest dog ever. This is great.
So
everyone's afraid of this dog. Magical's like, the dog fucking killed my guy.
It's so funny because
Priscilla's like, la, 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 la. Because
in a minute they're going to go back and Murphy's going to be like, oh no, the first thing he's going to do is kill Mouse because Mouse saw the demonstration and they know Mouse is like a super dog and it's like, really? Because Mouse hasn't noticed any? So the only...
Maybe Mouse is getting a mind whack right now.
The only saving grace I can give to this And he makes a point when he goes back to the apartment just previous to this and is talking with Abby and Priscilla. Because he's like, he comes in and he's like, Priscilla is just looking like drained and like he specifically mentions there's like no spark in her eye, whatever, like whatever his description, you get it that. So my only thing is that perhaps she has not been recently feeding, like in this little
that
the gap.
The demon is weak.
That the demon is weak, and that's the only.
To pick up
because
on.
Darby could have fed recently when they met him at the hotel, and that could maybe even be a little bit why Harry's spidey senses were going off, right? Because Darby had no reason not to be.
Because in general, they pass.
Regularly. They pass. Oh, yeah, physically and humanly. Like, yeah, there's no sun allergy or anything like
and apparently,
that.
Apparently, he passes for she in this one, too.
And, yeah. But yeah, so that's the only. Because I agree. I've had this. Burn my bonnet for being my bonnet, burn my blanket, burn under the saddle, let's swear. Anyway.
Just because there's another moment, too, that we've seen Harry talking to Elaine in their mind, whatever, and doing their mind whammy thing in the hotel or something like that, too. And I was like, that's never come up before. That didn't come up in book four, Summer Night.
Yes, it did.
Talking in their minds?
Telepathic communication.
Yeah, doesn't she?
I don't remember.
Oh, no, maybe. No, you're right. It is the first time because, yes, he's surprised when she does it at the beginning of this book. She's like, Harry, be nice. And he's like, oh, I forgot about that. Now you're right. I don't think they did do it.
So I'm like, okay, fine. Butcher's laid down the groundwork to make this believable enough for me. But really, technically, it was invented for the convenience of this novel.
There would have been a lot of good parts in Summer Night if Elaine had just been like, yo, Harry, so this is what's going down. I can't tell you because my boss is here. But, you know, here, I'm going to bury you in this mud pit to drown.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah.
They get here, too.
But still, I'm willing to say that this makes enough sense. Okay, they had this groundwork. They were messing with, like, brand new magic as teenagers.
Maybe she forgot about it. First
it
time she's... Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Like, I'm willing to go along with it. But you got to remember that it was invented for this story to make things work for this story purposely so they can talk in front of the bad guys, which is, again, where I'm like, okay, great, but your previously invented super dog specifically for sniffing out bad guys.
So many times that mouse has alerted you when you were either because there was nothing
when
else.
When you're in La La Land because everything's safe
or
and happy.
You just didn't, because again, when the...
And I like Tanzan's theory the best, like, yeah, we're friends with the White Court. Like, why would I alert you? You bring me your house all the time. You're sleeping with one now. Like, all the cold cops
smell like Thomas.
You told me Molly was fine. I keep trying to tell you. You're like, no. So I'm just ignoring this shit now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, fuck you, bro.
Unless, yeah, exactly. Like, okay, the blacks, we know that there's nobody there on. So, yeah, the whites, I just wait until you tell me if this is friend or foe, right? Like, yeah. Just assume they're all good unless otherwise noted. Okay.
No. Armistice with the White Court is what you said. Okay.
I'm a really smart dog, Harry, but come on. I'm not a fucking mind reader.
Priscilla's subterfuge is just that good.
It
Even
is.
Even Mouse can't fucking get it.
Yep. She does it good.
Thank you to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us do what we do. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/freeflowrambling. Chapter 30. Harry discovers Molly hiding in the back seat of the Beetle and gives her a heavy-handed lesson. They leave for the hotel as Harry explains to Murphy about his theories on what he thinks are White Court power plays happening.
Thomas answered his phone, said he was okay. I called both rooms, but the call went straight to the hotel's voicemail. So I don't know that Thomas is at either of these rooms. I mean, maybe, because I thought the room was the one that, like, or no, I guess they were at a different one. They didn't go to, did they go back to the Amber Inn? Did Thomas get rooms at the Amber Inn when they went back to get Elaine and the others?
He was outside of it, but it doesn't say if.
But yeah, they didn't go to a separate one, right? No. It's like, Harry's like, we're going to the Amber Inn, and Thomas got a room there for all his little ducklings.
I think it's just two separate hotels, like the one that, Anna got murdered in, and then the other one that Elaine was like, took them to.
Elaine took them to the Amber Inn. I assume that was where, because they go back there to get everybody, and that is the room where they find Anna. So the room that Elaine rented, where the one that they all left to go running around for insulin, they go back to that room. That's where Anna, why they have access to that room. They don't just randomly go to hotel rooms and be like, oh, there's dead people in your tubs.
Well, they should start.
So I was just, yes, I'm trying to confirm that, yes, when that Thomas didn't just, they didn't go off and get another random because.
I don't know.
Because
it could have been another. Yeah,
I'm
they
confused.
Could have moved since then. There's lots of hotels.
I'm a wizard. I don't know how phones work. I don't care anymore.
Anyways, eventually they all get them all, yes, to, they are at the Amber Inn, whether Thomas gets groomed, but yes, because he was leaving to go feed, so I don't know if he, like, went home or just, I don't know that he's in the other
so many details.
Hotel room here or not. I think I've always taken it as, like, Anna's room and then the extra room or two that Thomas got for all his people, but regardless, whether Thomas was in the second hotel room or far away is, yes, they phoned him. Then they could not get a hold of any of the refugees.
Harry gives his keys to Murphy and says, drive.
Yeah.
Her bike is there. They're just leaving it?
Yeah.
Watch our shit, Marcone.
Hey.
Well, they're platinum members, man.
I was going to say, if you're going to leave your shit somewhere, leave it Harry.
She's getting toast.
She's a guest of the platinum member.
Can you imagine? She's just like, can you validate me, Marcone?
Murphy would accept no validation from her.
Yeah, they're not going to tow her. They're going to look run the plates.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's got her cop plates on there. That, like, she's got a little, like, decals, you know, support the boys in blue, all that. So they're like, wait. I feel like this is a cut, yeah. Anyways, yes, he gets Murphy to drive because he's like, wait a minute, Elaine just reminded me that I can do this super cool telecommunication thing. However, we got to be a little bit closer. So yes, you can ask me questions. But before we do that, I'm going to toss my stuff in the back of the car. And
nicely timed.
Yeah.
Molly, I get it. In some ways, I'm like, I could see potentially. At the same time, though, I'm like dealing with some. And again, even just like, can you install like the rate? Harry's like, fine, you're here already. You snuck into the first thing. He's like, I'm going to drag you to the morgue. And, oh, by the way, you're going to jump in this dead girl's head and figure out what happened.
And she, like, puked and was upset. Like, it upset her.
Gosh, living, like, not even, I mean, we were all like, I don't like Helen's flashback because we're like, that is too much.
And even Harry's whole, like, oh, heroin feels good, too. Like, you think it gets through her head, but.
Yeah, but I'm like, actually feeling somebody's death has got to be even more traumatic than reading about somebody's.
It's somewhere like finish, not death, so.
Whatever. But she's like, I'm just going to hop in again in this really
so
dangerous
much attitude.
When do you think she showed up?
Too.
Do you think she broke into the car while they were inside Marcone's? Or do you think she broke into the car while they were at the hotel?
She mentions about being able to track the beetle.
Right.
So she brags that.
Did she track it down at the hotel? Did she track it down at here?
I figured it was here. And
I kind of took it like
in.
Maybe she's been here for a minute. I don't know. It doesn't say. Right. But.
Yeah, I.
Did get some validation that she is 19, so
yeah,
she's not underage at this point, which still doesn't.
None of that matters.
It doesn't excuse Bob's creepiness, nonetheless.
Yeah, I would say yeah, probably. Not that she wouldn't have got away with it. Sorry, he says her veils are really good, and that's not his thing. But yeah, I'm just going to assume that there might have been enough, or she might have been whatever to sit there. I mean, again, why would she maybe not have followed them like up into the building if she wanted to know what was going on? So yeah, she probably. Tracked it down to
just here,
just yeah, while they were at executive at the Madison, is where she's come across them again. I think,
she's busted pretty early.
Stupid
when she
does to it. Like, yeah, to yelp. Like, I think I could have held it in. Like, if I'm trying to hide under a veil, I'm not gonna yelp. Like, are you kidding me?
Maybe, but I mean, if you suddenly unexpectedly got like a stick tossed at you again, involuntary, it's hard to say whether you
why
could...
is my staff levitating?
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, we need it for the story to work. Yep. He has to discover her. So whether or not you could, I mean, again, it's totally like, right? Like, if it had been Harry, he's like, oh, the ogre like stepped on my toe, and I'm like, I nearly shouted, but I held it in because, but here it's like, no, we need to discover Molly, so she's gonna let the yelp out.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, the attitude where she immediately starts trying to defend herself and he's just so angry. He just has to let off power immediately before he can even listen to her. Like, to me, I get that. I'm on Harry's side. I was like, I'm that fucking angry. Like,
anybody that's had teenagers and stuff, one, it is very, very believable, the defensiveness and the attitude. It is also very, yes, that you, I mean, again, like I say, even just with the little.
Put some good tea.
Even with the little one right now, 7 years old, and again, I'm not literally the definition of your, like, Wakanda thing. It's, like, the whole thing. I'm like, what you are doing is a literal definition of the thing you are arguing that you are not doing. You know, all that kind of. So I was like, yeah, to a certain degree, yes. On the one hand, you're like, wow, what an obnoxious little shit. At the same time, I'm like, the girl is 19. Yes, you know what? It is. And again, already we've seen Molly being a little bit rebellious and anti-authority as she is, much like, right. And again,
it's just a lot of repeat of, like, shit she should know better by now.
And I agree. And yes, on the one hand, that's exactly the thought running through my head. You're like, really? But at the same time, but this also does ring 100% true for fucking teenagers and people that think they know best.
Undeveloped prefrontal cortex will get you every time.
But I've learned so much. Your bracelet test is bullshit. Yoda didn't do that. Oh, I'm okay. So we can take the fictional movie. That was an okay test. But the real life fucking wizard trying to, well, that's just bullshit, Harry. It's not how Yoda would have done it. Like, yeah. You know everything and you know nothing.
I get it also, but I can also see why Murphy is like, uh-uh-uh. And in the same token, there's like the darker voice in my head didn't want to stop the
lesser.
Yeah, a little dark.
Yeah.
It is a little
like, maybe she should feel a little pain for this.
And especially because he's like, oh, nothing teaches like fire. It's like,
oh, Harry. Come on. Well, even that right? Like,
dude, you know the consequences. Like, relax.
The whole thing is like, he's like, I peel off my gloves. So he's like, it ain't as ugly as it was, but it's right. Like, yeah, you're like, you are just absolutely drilling this home. Because we've seen, you don't need to take the glove off to do it. But exactly, you are and on the one hand, again, extreme, maybe, is it? And again, when you're on the outside, same thing. I could yell and scream at my kids all day long when they were doing stupid things and deserve to be yelled at. When I'm listening to, you know, my granddaughter get yelled at, I'm like, oh, but is it, you know, yeah, she did wrong. Yeah, she did a stupid thing. Maybe tone it down a notch. You're, you know, it's that very, yeah, it's hard to see other people going through it. But at the same time, I was like, there is also that sometimes, though, you scare the crap. Like, the one time Jessica cut her sister's hair. And I scared the shit out of her enough that it was only ever... Some people go through that two or three times. Neither of my kids ever cut either of their own or each other's hair ever again after that. And I think I did. I think I scared her badly enough with my initial reaction that it stuck. I don't feel bad about that because we did not have hair cutting issues. And thereby no other cuts or...
Don't remember it.
Visit.
Too young to remember that one.
Honestly, you guys were like 3 and 4, so I'm not. This is before we moved to Fort Mac, so yeah. I'm not surprised that you don't. Although she has seen the photographic evidence, because literally the week
I did a good job.
Grandma was like, "Let's go to Sears and get pictures taken." I'm like,
Harry, doing this whole "It's about 1,200 degrees. It'll melt sand into glass. It doesn't do much for skin either." You know how I know? Tested in New Mexico.
So. Basically, he shows his little, like, miniature sun in her. And I'm like, I feel like the distance that we're at of the sun can fucking give us a sunburn from how many light years away.
All right, it's pretty extreme.
You've got
it's
this miniature
one. Only a truly happy person can capture daylight in a handkerchief. But if you want to create a whole sun, you have to be angry.
Yeah. You have to be freaking psychotic.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm like, I feel like this would be close enough to her face to already be singeing a little bit if it's that freaking hot. Like, you can pass your hand over a candle and it burns and that thing.
Right.
So I'm like,
Magical fire.
Oh, everything has to behave by the laws of physics until I'm proving a point to my apprentice. Now I'm going to twist that shit all to hell.
I am a functional borderline psychopath. I am heartless, calculating, empty, and can muster very little in the way of empathy for my fellow human beings. But you can't take my word for it. And Harry's all like, Jesus Christ, lady. And then one chapter later, he's like,
I'm going to burn your face off with a miniature fireball.
And Mouse was like, wow, this girl's kind of weird. And Harry's like, I'm going to fuck you.
I was kind of hoping that he was lying about it. And it was just like a ball of light to scare her until he goes, maybe I might let her burn from it.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And I was like, oh, it actually was what he said it was.
Welcome to parenthood, Harry. There are those moments. We love our children dearly, but they will absolutely drive you to physical harm.
It's too much. Murphy knows it's too much. She calls him on it.
And yes,
Murphy is like, we're not going to talk about this now, but we're going to come back to this.
We don't have time for this. You're not in the headspace. But even Harry, then I'll just tell you how to do your job afterwards.
But still, like, bad guys don't take this long. And it's like,
and that. That's it. Yeah, bad guys aren't going to give you the choice to just, yeah. Ugh. Extreme, but I get it, but I don't, but it's harsh, but it is. So, yeah. But Molly seems to kind of, maybe this time, maybe. Because, yeah, there does come a certain point. And again, the only thing I can relate to is parenthood, but there comes, it's fine. Slam your fingers in the, I don't care. right? And you do. You get it. You're like, I've told you 10 times you're going to hurt yourself. This is why. If you're going to insist, you know what? Fine. Mm-hmm. Fucking do it. And then maybe you'll listen to me about, so.
Yeah. Murphy, though, just real quick. Murphy referring to her. Why does your ex think? I'm like, why? That's a weird way. Just call her Elaine, though. It's like weird that Murphy's like so obsessed with that. Your ex. Your ex. Your ex-girlfriend. So your ex-girlfriend, Elaine. Showed up.
Well,
she's like always saying
it. Fair side.
How's your boy toy? Man toy.
But still, just weird. She's like, why did your ex, why do you think your ex is in danger? It's like, just call her Elaine, Jesus.
I don't know, maybe she's trying to, maybe I guess. But
jealous.
The only, well, yeah, so we hear about her, but so Harry has vaguely mentioned
Harry doesn't, or Murphy doesn't know her on a name basis.
In book four, where she finds out about her husband's death and all, her ex-husband's death and all this kind of stuff, and she's like, oh, did you ever kill your, and he's like, actually, yeah. And so maybe that just, right, again, she wasn't really on a lot, and then she pops up a little bit and disappears, so maybe just, it is, maybe for, like, Murphy, it's just like, I don't really know, like, Elaine, she's not Elaine, it's just like, oh, your ex popped back up again and caused some trouble. Your ex is just back again, like following in your footsteps, and like.
I agree, Murphy. It is weird, but
like I don't know. I can see a certain degree that again. If I'm trying to think, like if somebody who I don't really know that well, you know, yeah, would I be like, oh, is Tom, or would I just be like, oh, your ex did the, you know what I mean? Like I can kind of see it.
They go on to talk quite a bit more about theories and sort of develop on the fly what's actually happening with the White Court. And that it's really all of this sort of just boils down to it's a play, power play.
Yeah.
Right. So, again, we kind of went over this a little bit before, but the whole thing is cat's paws, power plays, subterfuge.
Nothing in the ASF.
Oh, my God. What a great word for this book.
That's a fantastic word. It applies.
So, essentially, everything that's going on that we've already gone over is that...
Essentially?
Kavis started this. And then everybody else was like, what a great idea. Ooh. We're going to swoop in and steal your fucking prize.
Take credit for that. Just reposting other people's things.
Yeah, exactly. So this is now we started to get like, oh, why is it in multiple cities? And why did it start becoming targeted to Harry? And why did it start becoming...
About the women with talent.
Exactly.
Because really, it's a genocide.
Well, exactly. Trying to do a genocide. That's kind of cool, too. Because we're thinking about how the right should be running
so cool.
around.
I love genocide.
Transforming.
Just, I mean, just collecting the whatever, the magically users to have children for them, so they just hopefully get a magical crop of children already, is the word I want to use.
Oh, because they think it's such a big deal to like turn a wizard. Why not just
right,
have
just
your,
already start you like, know,
or take
them
or take a little pantry of
exactly right. Like the Reds have the resources to be tracking them down better than the White Court. Why aren't they
potentially
or mentioned? Maybe they are. And we don't know about. We talked about it before, but the White Court is almost the exact opposite, where they're like, let's just start killing them off so there aren't any.
Yeah,
and then you know, either way, solved. Either they're on our team already, or the Red Team, or they just don't exist.
Yeah. Fair. Well, and this is where, again, Madrigal is just fucking dumb as a sack of rocks because...
I don't know that he's dumb. He's just sort of impulsive.
Which is what makes him
dumb. Yeah.
On this level in this game...
I mean, literally, like, Harry, look at me over here. Look at the plan. I'm going to lay it out for you.
Apparently, they had a good thing going. So, yeah, Murphy being on the ball and a little bit in the know. And, again, she seems to be the only one. Everybody else around Chicago is like, wow, a bunch of random suicides. There is nothing to connect them other than what Murphy knows about and why that... makes these things weird. So, yeah, there was... So, and then again, we find out that this has already been perpetrated in other cities where nobody caught on. Nobody knows what's going on. None of this. Because the first one, the first actual, not the Jessica Blanche fuck-up one, but the first one in the apartment she calls him to, again, we discover Madrigal is the one leaving these notes. The Scavas wasn't writing in invisible ink on anybody before this.
Yeah.
So even if a wizard, a warden, anybody had shown up, there was nothing specific to, you might have speculated, you might have noticed the pattern, but there was nothing to be able to say, ooh, I bet some psychic vampire
is twisting
their... Yeah,
the apartment he was in didn't have noticeable altar, right? Like it was...
She did a little bit. She did have
but
some
it was
little,
it was
in her bedroom or whatever.
Yeah, but it wasn't like 100%. It was subtle enough, you know, like there still could have been some sort of like, you know...
Well, yeah,
a coffee table with some knickknacks.
Yeah, I am TikTok tarot witch, you know, like
right.
You'd have to. I feel like yes, though, because I feel like that was the whole place. He walked into the bedroom, and there was
this
little shrine.
Well, maybe, but I just think.
But
yes,
but
without the Exodus, though, it was not.
But without the Exodus, that was the biggest. Yes, exactly. Just the fact that yes, you and again, yeah, there might have been, like you say, some of those connections, but nothing else to make, and not like you say, somebody else might have noticed a little bit of the pattern that they were practitioners to some degree, but without that kind of shit. So yeah, exactly. Everything. And especially since you're like, you're not trying to steal somebody. This has been going great. You've got all these wins that you can chalk up under the belt. And instead of just quietly just taking that, knocking that guy off and being like, ta-da, you literally, you start hanging out fucking banners and beating the drums and going, hey, Harry, over here. Hey, Harry. Ooh. Oh, no. Oh, you found us. Oh, wow. What?
Even again, like we said this before too about other bad guys. It's like, why are you guys doing this in Chicago? And obviously it's the ley lines, connection, whatever. But to a certain point, you're also like,
reason why. Yeah.
You know, like, okay, Ramirez, a warden, lives in LA. Like, let's just drive an hour out of town at least, okay? Like, oh, a warden, Harry, who puts his nose in everything, lives in Chicago. Like, yeah, it's like a ley line here, but maybe we should
get
just
me to the suburbs.
Yeah, let me just, why not? Why don't we just drive over? Like, exactly.
Which, you know, in all fairness, as you say that, I suppose, does explain the higher stakes too. Because you're right. The little people are all like, fuck this shit. The ones that are big risk, big gain, you know, they're still like, well. And go big or go home. If we don't get rid of Harry, we can't. So,
but even still, I'm like, fine. You've got to operate in Chicago, okay? Everybody's here. This is the happening place for murders. I get it.
Yeah.
But exactly, still, you're just knocking on his door and being like, Harry, I'm going to be here tomorrow committing a murder. Can you please show up and catch me?
Like, well, and this is the thing. I was like, Madrigal didn't even have that because he could all be like, oh, well, I got away from
it. And I'd be so mad if I was Scavis, too. I'd be so fucking pissed. I'd be like, you dumb motherfucker.
Yes.
I had a good thing going. Not only did you swoop in, but you brought in the guy to catch
you ruined it. Yes.
You straight up called the wardens and said, come look at us.
Yeah, nana nana boo boo. You can't catch me.
And again, and especially because Madrigal's not really doing anything to kill Harry either. Like, there's been no attempt on Harry's life this entire novel.
Other than a bomb.
Oh, right, the car thing. I totally forgot about that.
Everybody does. It's okay. But yeah, exactly, right?
But still,
it's
I'm like,
it's not like every
you
5 minutes.
You drag Harry in and you're like, all right, have fun now. Like,
that's why she's driving the bike, because the Saturn's toast.
Yeah, it got blown up.
It's just convenient when she's on her own. She can just, it's summer. Why you drive the bike?
Okay.
Yeah, no, exactly. And like you say, it wasn't even like Madrigal went up against him in this like high-pitched battle of wits and, you know, I was like, you fucked along, you tripped over your own feet in the last one and just got out by the skin of your teeth, and now you're like,
is Priscilla the Grey Cloak?
No, Malvora is the Grey Cloak.
Malvora, okay.
Priscilla is the Scavis.
Yes, okay.
Sorry, spoilers.
Spoilers.
Except that's what he's been calling him the whole time.
Yeah.
Grey Cloak Malvora and Passenger Madrigal. Yes. Thank you. We will come and we'll get there eventually. You will find out who Grey Cloak is, I promise, before the end of the book.
Who is Grey Cloak? It's me. Discord, they were dragging me, and I'm still confused. They're like, oh, you fucking read the text, it makes sense. I'm like, that's
fine. Oh, the subterfuge. It does. There is a little bit in the yes. Yes.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. You guys have to wear masks. This is complicated.
I was going to say, at least in the text, because, yeah, you can see where the dialogue sort of changed. But even then, yeah, you sort of. But all of that, yes. It's just, Madrigal, you fucking dumb. You did not have the credentials.
I mean, we wouldn't have a good meet. If they get too slick, then.
Yeah, obviously. We don't have a obviously. Yeah. But it's just how dumb. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Harry needed the dumb person to give him a break. In this, it definitely helped, but it's just for being where you are, for being that you're like fucking cousins to like the
smartest ones,
the ones in power, and you still don't know but how the fucking game works.
Exactly.
He's not in power,
that's
but
why
he's
not
like,
king.
This is why he's and why his.
But this goes even furthermore because Laura is like the most, you know, fucking manipulative one right now, and if she ever gets caught being that manipulative, that'll immediately show that she's not good enough to be in that position,
that
which
in
is like a really
itself.
Cool. It's already like kind of been explained before, but like
22.
The summary of it is really good. Yeah,
there,
and then you get this whole backwards forward thing with the whole Justin and Thomas and being like, well, Laura clearly forbade Thomas from like getting involved with this because that would go against her whole plans. But
and then Thomas would just automatically be like, don't tell me what to do.
Yeah, it's just funny because it's like, you know, Thomas and Laura are playing the game absolutely
super
just,
well,
like, and Harry being smart enough to get into this too, because you get even earlier on in the game where Elaine was all like, you can't trust him, like that's what they do, and Harry's like, yeah, but I'm gonna do it too. It's so fun. That's what I like. Harry's like, I can be a race too. Let me in, guys. Like, I want to play.
Yeah. Harry's like, you know, technically we are related now. So technically I don't have any race blood, but you know what? I am like connected to your family, so I can play just as.
But that's the thing. It's like, is
Although
he is, though. Harry is playing the game, too. He's in it.
I was going to say, though, given, though, that Harry's connection to Thomas is because Margaret was involved with. So, obviously, Margaret knew enough to play the game. So, I guess Harry has.
Did she, though? She doesn't seem like she played the game well. She got captured.
She didn't get captured. She, I think, chose to be there at first and then was like, I don't want this badass drug dealing boyfriend anymore. I'm going to go
away. Yeah, I guess she did kind of choose him because he was dangerous and evil. But
yeah, and then extricated herself. And then she sort of got away with it, but then not really because eventually he
killed her.
Tracked her down. But she did remove herself from that for a while. But yeah, knew it. And I was going to say knew it enough that she did survive-ish for a while. So I was going to say, so yeah, she doesn't have like the same wraith manipulation, but I was like, maybe Harry's got enough, again, manipulation, whatever, in his genes to compete.
I think it is just partially the smarts, though, right? Like, you do just have
to. Like, how she ended up with the race in the first place. So I was like, Harry's got a little bit of that, even though.
It is a fun game that they play.
It is a fun game.
If you can stay on top.
And if you can stay on top, and if it is done well, and for the most part, between Harry and Laura and Thomas,
I'm saying, like,
and
even
all
like
that,
you get
done well.
There's another chapter or two where you get Thomas's point of view, but still, point is like through all of this, like Thomas and Laura, they fucking get it, and Harry's doing a very good job staying up with them. It's like why it's so pathetic and sad to see Magical like throw it all away.
Yeah,
like, you're so stupid, bro.
Yeah, right. It's like how
always that one family
crazy?
Member.
Well, but especially in
mine has 12.
But especially in this metaphor or whatever, it's not a metaphor in the book. They are literally survival of the, like, literally they are
and
predators.
How old is Magical? How many years have you had to figure this one out? Probably not the same, like, 33 like Thomas. Like,
well, I was going to say he might be. I don't remember if they ever gave us an age on, but he is at least Thomas's age, possibly older.
Hundreds of Thomas's ages.
Yeah, I mean, we find out that Laura is pretty old for them, so might not be.
She was younger than I thought. But yes, we get an.
She is.
We get Lara's age in 12 months, and I don't think that's a spoiler to go back like the 7 or so years. But like, I think that he only pinned her at about 300-ish years old in 12 months.
Yeah, was this right? You're right. I think she was.
Yeah. So she's only like in and about 300 now, right? Which is like old, obviously, but I kind of expected like 500 or 700.
Yeah.
Thomas, in comparison, is just like a blink for her.
Yeah. This is part of the problem, though, where I almost would have to say, again, in defense of his stupidity, hopefully he's not any older than Thomas, because he really...
That's why I'm saying, though, it's possible that he is. It's possible he's been around 1,000 years, like...
Yeah, but that's what I mean, is I don't think he would have. Like,
but
that's just what I mean, is again, they don't... I mean, yeah, there's a certain amount... Like, the race in particular, we don't know as much about the other branches. The race are all about, quote-unquote, family.
Even
as you kill off all your male children.
Even that is, I think, more just Lord Wraith and his children. I think the cousins, despite having the Wraith name, aren't getting
that same
education. I was
going to say, that might not be as prevalent.
And I think it's not only, I think, I like, genuinely just based off of how stupid and erratic he is. Like, Lord Wraith doesn't give a fuck about the other Wraiths in the family clan being stupid as fuck, as long as his prime family
His power is.
And not even his own family. He doesn't think that his daughters are capable of it, and he's killing off his sons
so that they can never challenge.
It's genuinely just him. He doesn't give a fuck about any other Wraith, really. Daughters are servants. That's the end of the Wraith line. Like,
yes. Just because he can, because he's not into boys, so he can manipulate the girls and just chooses not to do that. So he's like, I'll just get rid of them. But yeah, it is. It's just, almost like dumb rocks for these people that are like, have no, like, you've already lost the game. I'm like, how is he even still alive? Like, that's my part of him. He's like, you can't possibly be hundreds of years old. Somebody would have.
Fair enough. Yeah, you're right.
But regardless, whatever. Madrigal is just a dumbass. And
the White Court is just so cool how they.
A lot of it is.
Operate, though. Like, it is just fun. And even the Scabus and Malvora, even though they come in and they kind of ruin the whole vibe, it's cool.
It's still cool, and they're on a different level. But yeah, I mean, like you say, the Black Court is basically just like, you're monsters. That's just it. You're cut and dried. Whereas exactly the Whites being so much more humanistic as well, and the fact of how they operate and stuff like that is, I think I definitely, if I was going to be a vampire, I think I would want to be part of the White Court if I had a choice. Blacks are just icky, the red kind of girls. I don't need the whole blood drinking thingy. I like to go out and day.
I'll choose Jade Court just so I know what's up with
just
them.
Just so you can find out.
Also, I can be in on their secrets.
Right, exactly.
Watch them be so lame. They're just Twilight vampires. So betrayed.
No!
Why are you so glittery?
Damn it!
I was going to say.
We're like geologists, you know? Fuck!
Oh, that's really how we got our name, the Jade Court. It had nothing to do with
exactly.
We're just really into, yeah. Can we just have a moment of appreciation for the fact that when I first discover Molly and he, as you say, lets off that power, and slags the trash can, and like Marco and Hendrix come out and be like,
fuck.
this is just the garbage can. But yeah, I just like gotta call the guys to fix the concrete again. Yeah, I just thank you for proving my point.
No,
Harry.
Literally though, like honestly, like that at that point too, like that's when you deserve to get sued again. Like that one's on him.
We're ridiculous. Taking this out of your membership.
Give me my fucking sweatpants back.
This concludes our episode 18.15, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and macanellis.ca. There we have links to other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and to see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling, conjured by it at your own risk.
Although, now that we say that, should it not be Priscilla, Queen of the Turtlenecks? There's nothing desert about this.